أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. Our dear listeners and the entire Muslim Ummah, today being Thursday, 15th day of Ramadan, 1441, after the Hijrah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is equivalent to the 8th of May 2020, in the continuation of Tafsir, that is the commentary of the Holy Quran by Sheikh Kidir Abdullahi Maraya and his reciter Malan Sani Isa Malami. We are still in the translation of the chapter, the Surah Al-Baqarah. Akramukum Allah, Bismillah.
A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Atamuruna An-Nasa Bil-Birri Wa Tantawna Anfusakum Wa Antum Tatluna Al-Kitab. Afala Ta'qilun.
A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والقاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره ومقداره العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Our great listeners, I today also greet you in the name of Allah by saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu. I hope you still remember that these Quranic interpretation in the English language comes to you on the Berekete Family radio station, courtesy of its chief executive officer, the ordinary Malam Ahmad Isa, the president Malam Ahmad Isa, in memory of his late father, Malam Isa Muhammad of blessed memory. May the Almighty Allah continue to shower his immense blessings on his gentle soul. May his soul also continue to rest in absolute peace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Atamuruna an-nasa bil-birri wa tansawna anfusakum wa antum tatluna al-kitab afala ta'qilun. واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين واستعينوا
واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين
واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين الله سبحانه وتعالى says واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة O you the children of Israel, seek help in patience and the establishment of the prayer. Because the children of Israel did not accept the prophethood of Muhammad, peace be upon him. They equally did not agree to accept his religion, the religion he brought when he migrated to the city of Medina. He met three clans of the children of Israel. Hence he invited them to accept the guidance which he took to the city of Medina, and also to accept him as the last messenger of Allah. But their love for leadership and greed for the worldly things prevented them from accepting the guidance that was taken to the city of Medina by Muhammad, peace be upon him. It also prevented them from accepting him as the messenger of Allah. So what was the solution? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really wanted them to accept his messenger as his last messenger to the entire universe. He equally wanted the children of Israel, among others, to accept the guidance that was brought by the messenger of Allah Muhammad to the city of Medina. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoined them at that material time to be establishing the prayer. And he equally commanded them to be exercising patience, forbearance, inter alia, with a view to mitigating what prevented them from accepting the guidance. Because prayer makes one to keep away from the commission of all transgressions. A sabr, which here implies fasting, makes one to do away with the greed for worldly things. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says to the children of Israel, Ista'inu bi sabri wa salah. Seek help in patience. Patience here implies fasting. Allah enjoins them to be observing fasting with a view to mitigating their greed for worldly things. Then, for them to be able, at that material time, to do away with the love for leadership with the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to be establishing the prayer. Because the prayer makes all and sundry who observe it to keep away from the commission of any transgression. It makes one to be totally submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't want to lose their position of leadership. Because as I said yesterday, had they agreed to accept Muhammad as the messenger of Allah, he would now become their leader. And they were leaders of their congregations prior to his arrival to the city of Medina. They wanted to continue with their status in the city of Medina. Hence, they decided not to accept his guidance. Not because that what he took to them was falsehood, no. They knew actually it was a true guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were also receiving worldly things from their followers as gifts. So they thought that if they accepted Muhammad as the last messenger of Allah, they would definitely lose their status. Hence, they would not be enjoying such gifts which they were collecting hitherto. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here enjoins them to be establishing the prayer and also to be observing fasting, which is being denoted here by patience. Patience here denotes fasting. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ. But verily, prayer is something that is very hard to be observed. إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِئِينَ, except to those who are absolutely submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except to those who are very humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the ones who find the establishment of any prayer as something that is very simple. They simply observe it. But those who are not humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have not totally submitted themselves to Him, always find the establishment of the prayer as something that is very hard. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِئِينَ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoins them also to be submissive to Him, for them to be able to be establishing the 5 daily prayers at that material time, or any supererogatory prayer. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِئِينَ. The verse which has just been interpreted is laden with numerous Quranic lessons, of which is the importance of Allah's help. In whatever situation you have found yourself, or whatever you want to secure, seek Allah's help. By seeking Allah's help, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could give you anything of your wish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could satisfy your desire. So the verse underscores the importance of seeking Allah's help. The verse also teaches us to be establishing prayer and observing fasting whenever we have something that we want to achieve. Because the prayer and fasting are two causes of Allah's help. If you are observing prayer and also observing fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you whatever you want, if He wishes. Also, the verse indicates that the establishment of prayer, be it an obligatory prayer or a voluntary one, is a sign of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, if one wants to achieve their desires in relation to this world and also in relation to the next life, they should be establishing the prayer. Also, prayer here denotes supplication, not the establishment of the 5 daily prayers or a supererogatory prayer. Prayer here also denotes supplication. Whatever you want to achieve, ensure that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you in that respect via supplication. Be finding time with a view to sitting down in order to embark upon supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the verse also underscores the importance of supplication. The supplication could be conducted by you. You could also ask your brothers and sisters in faith to ask to help you by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to satisfy your desires. Such is also permissible in the religion of Islam. In fact, the supplication of one for their brother or sister in their absence or without their knowledge is something that is expeditiously accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, it is very important for you to be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help with the tongue which you have not committed any sin with it. Which tongue is that? The tongue of your brother. Because your own tongue, you have lied many times. You have cast aspersion on fellow human beings many times. You have insulted various brothers and sisters in faith or in creation with the tongue. You have committed a lot of transgressions with your tongue. Therefore, it is very important for you to ask some of your brothers and sisters in faith, or some of your brothers and sisters as far as kinship is concerned, to help you in the area of supplication. Now,
الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون. As if we have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell us who are those servants of His who have totally submitted themselves to Him. Who are those servants who always find the establishment of any prayer as something that is simple? Who are those servants of His who always find the institution of the supplication as something that is very enjoyable? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allazina yazunnuna annahum mulaqu rabbihim. They are those who are certain that definitely they will meet their Lord via resurrection. They are certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will one day revive them. Hence, they will meet Him. The verse here, or the portion of the verse, implies that the resurrection of the dead is certain. Yazununi here means they are certain, not they are doubting. Yazununa. Here it refers to their establishment of certainty as far as the concept of resurrection of the dead is concerned. They are certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely revive them on the day of judgment, or even prior to the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will revive them after the blowing of the second trumpet by angel Israfil. The first blowing of the trumpet will make all and sundry to pass away. Then after 40 years, the angel Israfil will blow the trumpet again, that if it is done, all the dead would get resurrected. So they are certain that definitely they are going to get resurrected. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And they also believe that definitely they will return to Allah. And indeed, they will return to Him. So they believe, they are certain that definitely they will return to Allah one day. They will die. Death is very, very indubitable. And they also believe that definitely they will get resurrected, as I have pinpointed earlier. And definitely there must be a reckoning. They believe in the concept of reckoning. Hence they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will revive the dead. There are also lessons here which one could deduce, of which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely resurrect the dead. Right from Adam, peace be upon him, up to the last human to be created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certainly they will die, and subsequently Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect them. So there is no doubt about the concept of resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect all dead, whether they are humans or animals, whether they are plants or animals. Then among the animals family, whether they are humans or not, generally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect all and sundry. The verse also enlightens us about the certainty of the divine reward. That on the day of judgment, those who have really obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, they would be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Conversely, those who did not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, they would certainly be punished by Him. In other words, the obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would get the paradise as their place of abode. Conversely, the disobedient servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get the fire as their place of inhabitation. So this is very certain, as it has been affirmed here by this Quranic verse. Naam, Ya Bani Israel.
Ya Bani Israel, adhkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum wa anni faddaltukum ala al-'alamin.
Ya Bani Israel, adhkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum wa anni faddaltukum ala al-'alamin. Ya Bani Israel. During one of our Quranic interpretation sessions, we interpreted the meaning of Israel a few days ago. I could remember vividly a few days ago we did that. If you have not forgotten, it means Abdullah. Israel is of the Hebrew language. In Arabic, it means Abdullah. And it refers to whom? It refers to Yaqub. Peace be upon him. Yaqub, one of the grandsons of the messenger of Allah, Ibrahim, peace be upon him. Because Yaqub was one of the sons of Ishaq, peace be upon him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him Israel, Abdullah, the servant of Allah. And he is unarguably considered as the father of all the children of Israel. The word Israelu appears in the Holy Quran 43 times. The word Israelu is found in 43 places in the Holy Quran. Allah here keeps on calling the children of Israel to accept the guidance which was taken to them to the city of Medina by his imminent messenger Muhammad, peace be upon him. So here he says, Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel, Uzkuru ni'imati allati an'amtu alaykum, call to mind my favor which I granted you. In other words, remember my favor which I bestowed on you. Here he refers to the numerous favors which he bestowed on the ancestors of the children of Israel who were co-inhabiting the city of Medina together with the messenger of Allah Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his honorable companions. But Allah says, ni'imati, uskuru ni'imati allati an'amtu alaykum, call to mind my favor which I granted you, which I bestowed on you. He says, which I bestowed on you, because whatever is bestowed on one's parents, such has indirectly been bestowed on them. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to your parents, it means He has given it to you. So the favors were bestowed on their ancestors. Since their ancestors were the beneficiaries of the favors, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they were the ones, I mean the children of Israel, who were living in the city of Medina, that they were the ones Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored, because He favored their ancestors. O children of Israel, call to mind my favor which I bestowed on you. A few days ago, we enumerated some of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He had bestowed on the children of Israel prior to the coming of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him. He appointed many of them as His messengers. He appointed many of them as His prophets. He revealed many scriptures of His to them. In fact, there was a time He even resurrected their dead prior to the occurrence of the Day of Judgment. A few days ago, we talked about that episode, which took place at the Sinai Peninsula, when some of the children of Israel, about 70 of them, or 70 of them heard the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they asked the messenger of Allah, Musa, peace be upon him, about the voice they were hearing. He told them that it was the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead of them to agree with what He told them, they refuted what He told them. They said they would not agree that the voice they were hearing was the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until they saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifestly. Immediately they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took their lives away by urging Angel Gabriel to shout at them, and they heard the shout like a thunder clap. Hence they all passed away, but subsequently Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrected them after He had even gutted their dead bodies into ashes. So such is one of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He had bestowed on the children of Israel who lived on the earth prior to the birth of the greatest messenger of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here reminds their descendants of the favors He bestowed on them. That is why He says, Ni'imati allati an'amtu alaykum, my favor which I bestowed on you. He means the favor or the favors which He bestowed on their grandparents. Ya bani Israel, azkuru ni'imati allati an'amtu alaykum wa anni faddaltukum ala al-alamin, and I verily gave preference to you over all creatures of your time. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also means that He gave preference to the ancestors of the children of Israel who were inhabiting the city of Medina during the lifetime of Muhammad, peace be upon him. He said that because He gave preference to their ancestors. That was why He said He gave preference to them. Because, as I always say, whatever your parents were given, you are also a beneficiary. Hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He gave preference to them. He appointed many messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from them, as I said earlier, many prophets, and He gave them a lot of scriptures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, with a view to reminding them of the favors He bestowed on their parents so that they could be obedient to Him. Because you as an individual, you are obligated to obey someone who has favored you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here tells them, I have favored you. I have really bestowed numerous favors on you. Hence, be obedient to me by accepting the prophethood of my messenger Muhammad, peace be upon him. Remember what I have done to you. Therefore, you should not be recalcitrant to me. Accept my messenger Muhammad. Remember my favors which I have bestowed on you. Wattaqu yawman.
واتقوا يوما لا تجزي نفس عن نفس شيئا ولا يقبل منها شفاعة ولا يؤخذ منها عدل ولا هم ينصرون.
الله سبحانه وتعالى says, واتقوا يوما لا تجزي نفس عن نفس شيئا ولا يقبل منها شفاعة ولا يؤخذ منها عدل ولا هم ينصرون. Some of the children of Israel said that they were very dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were his sons. Hence, on the day of judgment, he would not punish them. That was why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse with a view to responding to their assertion. Allah says,
وَاتَّقُوا
يَوْمًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجِزِي أَنْ نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. And fear a day when a person shall not avail another person. Fear a day when a person shall not benefit another person. That is the day of judgment. وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا
وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةٌ وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا عَدَلٌ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْصَرُونَ
وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةٌ. An intercession for them shall not be also accepted on that day. وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا
عَدَلٌ.
No ransom shall be taken from them. Equally, ransom will not be collected from them on that day. وَلَا هُمْ
يُنْصَرُونَ.
No shall they be helped. No one could help them on that day. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies them on the basis of the assertion they made that they were his sons and they were also dear to him. Hence, he would not punish them on the day of judgment. They were saying that in order to subject the messenger of Allah Muhammad and his message to mockery. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consequently responded himself by saying, fear a day when a person shall not avail another person. A person shall not benefit another person. Hence, nobody could benefit you on the day of judgment. I will certainly punish you if you fail to be obedient to me in this life. Definitely I will punish you. And also no one could intercede on your behalf on that very day. And no ransom shall also be collected from you with a view to setting you free on that very day. And no one shall help you, because no one could help you on that very day. Hence, my punishment is certain that I will really afflict you with it, because no one could help you. Going by the evident expression of this verse, one may conclude that there wouldn't be any intercession on the day of judgment. This is not the position of the Holy Quran. Here the verse refers to those who have died as disbelievers. Anyone who has died as a disbeliever, automatically on the day of judgment, no one could help them. No one could intercede on their behalf. No one could benefit them. But in other places in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirms that there shall be intercession on the day of judgment. There shall be help on the day of judgment. So those portions of the Holy Quran talk about those who have died as believers. The verse here talks about those who have died as disbelievers. So the verse here affirms that there shall be no intercession for disbelievers on the day of judgment. Certainly, there shall be intercessions on the day of judgment for the believers. Now, look at the types of intercessions. One, there is what is called Ash-Shafa'atul Kubra, the great intercession. The second intercession is Ash-Shafa'atul Sugra, the minor intercession. The intercessions that would be experienced on the day of judgment are divided into two, as I have mentioned just now. Now, what does the great intercession imply? The great intercession implies the intercession which will be done by the greatest messenger of Allah on the day of judgment in relation to the entire creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because on that day, the entire creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would converge on a particular place for the reckoning exercise. On that day, the sun would be exceptionally scorching. People would be wallowing in sweat. Then people will be so worried. No one could say any word. Then eventually, after several visitations are made to some messengers of Allah with a view to persuading them to intercede on behalf of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to agree to conduct the reckoning exercise, but to no avail. Then finally, the delegation of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will go to the greatest messenger of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him, with a view to persuading him to intercede on behalf of all the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could accept to conduct the reckoning exercise. On hearing that, the messenger of Allah would say, "Ana laha, ana laha, ana laha. It is for me, it is for me, it is for me." In other words, this intercession is for me, this intercession is for me, this intercession is for me. Implying that he has accepted to intercede on behalf of all the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Afterwards, he will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and intercede on behalf of the creatures. Resultantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order for the commencement of the reckoning exercise. So this is what is termed as the great intercession. Its beneficiaries are the entire creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the entire messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the entire prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the entire saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the entire angels, the entire genii, the jinns, the entire devil's inter alia. So this is what is termed as the great intercession. Then the minor intercession is the intercession that is going to be done by some select creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on behalf of sinners who have found themselves in the fire. They did not die as disbelievers. They died as believers. But during the reckoning exercise, their sins overweight their rewards. Hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cast them into the fire. So subsequently, Allah would permit some of his creatures to intercede on behalf of the sinners. The intercessors who are going to conduct the minor intercession include the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, peace be upon them. His messengers, peace be upon them. Angels, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of them, peace be upon them. Also the exceptionally sincere servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as siddiqun. They will also intercede on behalf of some creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran also will be an intercessor in relation to the minor intercession on the day of judgment. Those who recited the Holy Quran in this life, on that very day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would permit the Holy Quran to intercede on their behalf. So the Holy Quran is among the intercessors in relation to the minor intercession on the day of judgment. Parents also on that very day would serve as intercessors on behalf of their children who have found themselves in the hellfire in relation to the commission of sins, not in relation to the commission of disbelief. Also, children. Also children who died as the righteous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But consequent upon the reckoning exercise, the sins of their parents have overweight their reward. But the children are going to the paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would permit the children, such children, to intercede on behalf of their parents. So this is part and parcel of the minor intercession. Then spouses will also serve as intercessors with regards to the minor intercession on the day of judgment. A righteous wife whose husband is going to the hellfire due to the commission of sins in this life would be given permission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to intercede on behalf of her husband, and vice versa. In other words, the husband who died as a righteous person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him paradise, but his wife who died as a believer but her sins have overweighed her reward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consequently would permit her husband to intercede on her behalf. So this clearly showcases that there is certainly intercessions on the day of judgment. The verse here where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wataku yawman la tajzi nafsun an nafsin shay'an wa la yuqbalu minha adlun wa la yukhazu minha wataku yawman la tajzi nafsun an nafsin shay'an wa la yuqbalu minha shafa'atun na'am wa la yuqbalu minha shafa'atun an intercession will not be or shall not be accepted from them because nafs here means people. The verse here, as I said earlier, refers to the servants of Allah who have passed away as disbelievers. Definitely they are not going to benefit from any sort of intercession on that day. Now, because of this assertion, I would like to shed some light in relation to the pillars of intercession. The intercession, that is the minor intercession, has two pillars. The intercessor and those whom he is going to intercede on their behalf. The intercessor and those whom he is going to intercede on their behalf. And the intercessor also has conditions. One, the intercessor must be a believer. This is the first condition. For you to qualify to intercede on behalf of anyone on the day of judgment, you must die as a believer. The second condition is the divine permission. Allah must grant you permission to intercede on behalf of those whom you want to intercede before you secure that. You cannot just say, oh, I have interceded on your behalf without Allah's permission. No. Permission must be granted to you first. So these are the two conditions for intercession on the day of judgment in relation to the intercessor. One, he must be a believer. Two, he must be granted permission to conduct the intercession. Now, with regards to the beneficiaries of the intercession, there is also a condition for one to qualify to benefit from any sort of intercession on the day of judgment. That is belief. You must die as a believer before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow you to benefit from an intercession from any quarters. All the messengers of Allah shall not intercede on behalf of someone who died as a disbeliever. For you to benefit, I am reiterating, for you to benefit from the intercession, you must die as a believer. So this is the solitary condition for intercession in relation to the beneficiaries of the minor intercession, which will certainly take place on the day of judgment. Now.
وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرَأَوْنَ يَصُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ.
Whenever you hear someone saying that there won't be any intercession of the day of judgment, the person here represents the ideology of the Mu'tazilite. The Mu'tazilite, the isolationist. They are the ones who always assert that there shall be no any sort of intercession on the day of judgment. They rely on this verse and its likes. They have not put attention in relation to other verses of the Holy Quran. They have discarded many verses of the Holy Quran that talk about the concept of intercession on the day of judgment. So the Mu'tazilites, they have totally rejected the concept of intercession. According to their doctrine, anyone who dies as a sinner would find the hellfire as their place of abode, and no one could intercede on their behalf. They would live in the hellfire everlastingly. This is their doctrinal belief. But remember, they are called Mu'tazilites, the isolationist. This assertion of theirs is not in tandem with the true teachings, tenets, and injunctions of the religion of Islam. Now Allah says, وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. Allah keeps on enumerating His favors which He has bestowed on the children of Israel. He says here, وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ
مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ.
وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ. Call to mind my favor when I saved you from the people of Pharaoh. Remember my favor which I bestowed on you when I delivered you from the people of Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh, that is Fir'aun, his name appears in the Holy Quran as Fir'aun, Fir'aun, Fir'aun 74 times. Pharaoh, his name was Al-Walid ibn Mus'ab. That was his name. Because Pharaoh was a royal title. Fir'aun was a royal title at that material time. Like what we currently use as some of our royal titles, like the Shehu of Borno. Anyone who happens to be the head of the Borno kingdom is termed as Shehu. Whether his name is Ibrahim, Isa, Mustafa, or Abu Bakr, whatever his name, he's definitely now going to be addressed as Shehu. Because the Shehu is not a nomenclature, it's a title, it's a royal title. Shehu. In the same vein, anyone who becomes a royal leader in the Adamawa kingdom, he would be addressed as Lamidu, regardless of his name. That esteemed kingdom has really had many Lamidos with different names. Anyone who becomes a traditional leader, a royal father in the Nufa kingdom, Bidda kingdom, he would be addressed as Esu, regardless of his name. So, this is what the Quran says here, Al Fir'aun. Fir'aun is not a nomenclature, it is a royal title. The Pharaoh of that time who really persecuted the children of Israel was called Al-Walid ibn Mus'ab. That was his name, Al-Walid ibn Mus'ab. He was the one who terribly persecuted the children of Israel. He did all that he could to exterminate them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored them by saving them from his people and also from his horrible persecutions. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ. Remember our favor. And we here, I keep on saying, we, the pronoun we, the first person plural here, implies respect and honor. No plurality. It implies the respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses and also the honor He possesses. It does not imply that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord, is not one. So we use it even in our royal proclamations, as I said a few days ago. The word head says, Muza Kakawa Wasa, in the Hausa language. Do you want to joke with us? Do you want to play with our intelligence? And the word head is only one. But he says, do you want to play with our intelligence? Referring to himself, using the pronoun our. So it is permitted in human languages, particularly in relation to royal proclamations and decrees. وإذ نجيناكم من آل فرعون يسومونكم سوء العذاب. They were afflicting you with a very horrible punishment. Because the children of Israel that time were tremendously marginalized. Hence they were always being persecuted by the authorities. Alhamdulillah, for time constraint, we are going to have a pause here in relation to the Quranic exegesis in this very month of Ramadan. Inshallah, tomorrow the Quranic commentary continues. Remember, it comes to you on the esteemed FM radio station, Barakata Family Radio Station, courtesy of its Chief Executive Officer, Malam Ahmad Isa, in memory of his late father, Malam Isa Muhammad. May his gentle soul continue to rest in absolute peace. We earnestly implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to expeditiously bring an end to the pestilence that is currently bedeviling the entire globe. That is the COVID-19 pandemic. We implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the honor of his imminent messenger Muhammad, peace be upon him, to bring such a pandemic to an end. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursalin wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin wa sahbihi jami'an haqqa qadrihi wa miqdarihi al-azim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله